And with us now in the KRVS studios are Mary Bate, John Hathorn, and Cece Cole, here to talk about some beautiful things happening at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. It's Second Saturday Art Walk this Saturday, and galleries are open up and down Jefferson Street and down some of the side streets as well. But we're going to focus on the ACA right now. And John, you were here last week, I believe, or the week before. It seems like such a brief time ago. I know people loved hearing about your exhibit that is in the main gallery at the ACA, a retrospective showing of 30 years of your work. Beautiful catalog and beautiful exhibit. I'm sure many people got to see it the first time around, but if they didn't, or if they want to come back, they can see it again this weekend. But they have a special opportunity tonight because you're doing a gallery talk.
That's right.
In the main gallery.
It starts at 6:30 this evening, and it's a very informal process. We'll start out with...
I'm glad you said that because some people might be nervous, you know, being in the same room with the artist, and it's kind of an intimate thing.
Well, I very much want it to be informal and more of a conversation, really, so that... the viewers, and it's a little hard to know on the front end how large the audience will be, but hopefully it will be a fairly intimate evening so that we have a conversation between myself and all those who are able to be there tonight. We will probably start with a seated environment and kind of an introduction into the show and the installation and initially how Mary and Brian Guidry, as co-curators, the decisions that they made to organize the show. And then probably as the evening progresses, which we'll move throughout the space and just talk about individual pieces. Probably within 45 minutes to an hour, I would is the duration of the event.
Mm-hmm. And you're a professor, so you are comfortable about talking about your work. I think there is kind of a caricature of the artist who just doesn't know what to say about their work, except maybe for the artist's statement.
Yeah, well, after 30 years, I hope that I'm beginning to get accustomed to that.
So, to some of these pieces.
If not, I'm in trouble. So.
Well, and you've lived with some of these pieces for a long time.
That's
some
true.
Come
right.
from your collection.
In fact, the majority of the work comes from my collection. Mm-hmm. So it's and it's again, it spans a 30-year period. So it'll be it's interesting to be able to have an overview with that broad of a spectrum in terms of time and in terms of, you know, multiple bodies of work. So hopefully it will be a very interesting evening. And again, as I mentioned, an informal process so that we have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Are you hoping to go through your work chronologically?
You know, the exhibition is not organized chronologically, mm-hmm. so it makes it easy not to worry about that in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think it's perhaps more interesting to talk about correspondences that evolve in the work without the concern of that sort of linear timetable. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I think there more can be revealed because of that without having to worry too much about the chronology.
Well, of course, that is the genius of Brian Guidry and Mary Bate
that's correct.
In co-curating so many of the exhibits at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, the way they do place pieces. And I mean, it's really a work of art in itself as well.
Indeed,
so,
it is.
Yeah. So what was your feeling about the finished exhibit?
Well, I was very pleased with what Mary and Brian did. And we've had several conversations about that since the installation. And one of the comments that I made to them was that I don't think that I would have had the courage to deviate from the chronological gathering of the work. And that was never an issue, I think, for Mary or Brian. They were much more concerned about a kind of intuitive correspondence in the work, so which interests me. But still, it would be harder for me to deviate, I think, from that chronology. So I'm so grateful that they were able to do that. And they did a great job.
Hands, yes.
Absolutely.
It's interesting to hear you say that you wouldn't have had the courage to do that. And do you think that's something like visceral inside of you?
I think it's the linear, the linear component is so ingrained that it's just more difficult to somehow step away from that and allow other kinds of as I say, other kinds of conversations or correspondences to emerge in the work, maybe more naturally.
Mm-hmm. I think Mary wants to add something to this.
Also, I just have been working with these artists. They tend to be very protective of their work. Mm-hmm. So they want to show all of it together because it's like their children. And Brian and I come in and we're just nix, you know, because we want the pieces to talk. We want them to be like the grown-ups that have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And we want the audience to feel like there's something there that they intuitively will understand if they just sit back and look and not have to, like, try to make it so didactic and to make it more of an artistic experience in the actual viewing of it. So another thing I'd like to comment on about having John tonight is if you ever feel intimidated about looking at modern art, this is a great opportunity to come in. He'll answer questions, but he'll also tell you what a frame of mind he had when he started a painting or how he began a series, because sometimes once you hear an artist talk, it dispels this mystery. Mm-hmm. And you realize that in a greater sense, we're all, as artists, problem solvers. And once you understand that artists are really just problem solvers, much like someone who writes a book, you know, is a problem solver, it makes the work so accessible. Mm-hmm. And so it's a treat to get to listen to an artist talk about their work.
Well, and I think many of us are a little apprehensive about contemporary abstract art. We feel like we don't. It's like for many people approaching a poem, you think, I can't do that. I can't analyze that. I can't understand that. Rather than just experiencing it, rather than just responding to it. Right. And having someone like you, again, with so many years of working with students and helping students through that process, what a great person to open those gates for all of us and allow that little insight, or maybe make us relax. Maybe that's in large part.
Well, and it's a treat for me as well in that, for example, last week I did a talk with a group of about 25 eighth graders, and that's always a very revealing situation when you have children or adolescents who are not afraid to ask questions, and in many cases those questions really cut to the chase, it really kind of forces you to sort of step back and say, this is a very direct question, and I need to be able to offer, a direct response. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pleasure on my end as well to be able to have that kind of dialogue with whomever the audience may be.
Mm-hmm. What were some of those questions? I'm just thinking for adults. What were some of the questions you most enjoyed coming from those kids or most revealing?
They want to know about materials. And so when they're looking at whether it's in this case whether I'm using stone or salt blocks or obviously paint on canvas or a range of other mixed materials, they ask very direct questions about the materials, what they mean, where they come from, why you use those. And again, it's very, I think it's easy to get caught up within academia that we speak within metaphorical language. And sometimes it's refreshing to have somebody just, as I say, cut to the chase and say, just tell me in plain English and in a very straightforward manner what this is about.
Right. And sometimes as adults, we might be a little too embarrassed thinking that's too simple a question. And
perhaps,
we want to appear maybe more sophisticated than we are.
Yeah.
So, yes, maybe if, those attending tonight, just go and ask any question
Absolutely.
That you want.
Yeah.
If you have just tuned in, we're talking about the Acadiana Center for the Arts and the retrospective showing of John Hathorne's work, which is in the main gallery. He will be giving a talk, a gallery talk, so it's not really just a formal talk. There's many components to it, and that starts at 6:30. It's a free program, Mary?
Yes, ma'am.
So anyone can go, show up, enjoy this work if you haven't seen it yet, or if you have already seen it and just really want to go back and revel in it, luxuriate in it, and get to hear John talk about those works. And, of course, you still have catalogs, and those are absolutely beautiful, and it feels like you're taking away a piece of art yourself.
I hope so.
So that's John Hathorne's retrospective in the main gallery, the gallery talk, which I do have to say kicks off the College of the Arts Festival of the Arts, which starts tonight with your talk and continues through the weekend and through next week. Lots of activities showcasing the talents of faculty and students in the College of the Arts here at UL Lafayette.
Correct.
So a wonderful way to start it with your gallery talk tonight. If anyone has questions about it, they can certainly call the ACA, but just show up. It's a free program. So now that is sort of like the crowning piece that's in the ACA right now and these wonderful satellites around it in the other galleries. Cece Cole is with us here, who has an exhibit in the Coca-Cola Gallery. But first, maybe Mary can tell us just a bit about everything that's in there, and then we'll talk more specifically about yours, which is called Thinking About Meditating.
As you said, we have John Hawthorne, and he runs through April 13th. And Cece will run through April 20th. And in the side gallery, we have Matthew Thompson, who went to UL here. And his piece is entitled, it's a video installation entitled, Oppositional Menial Ownership Measured Against. And it articulates the disconnect between the experiences of images of crisis, often political, and the lives we live and the actual experience or lack of that experience in people's lives. Upstairs in the Maya Gallery, we have Uncle Tom's Watermelon Rebellion of 89. These are also local guys. Jonathan, which we all know him as J.J. Wilson, and Pat Phillips. They have a mix between American folklore, graffiti, and African-American heritage. And it's all bundled together, resulting in a large wall mural that both gentlemen collaborated on. There's also smaller works by both of them. And in the vault, we have Nicole Holcomb, and she has painted eggs. This runs through April 30th. There'll also be a table. This is where they use wax to have resist dyeing, and there'll be a table for, like, hands-on experience.
So you can just stay there the whole night.
Yes.
And, of course, it is Second Saturday Art Walk, so the ACA is open to everyone. You can enjoy. It's free. And you can take a look at till 9. You can just enjoy yourself and go to all of the galleries that Mary mentioned. So in the Coca-Cola Gallery, which is that first gallery, when you walk into the ACA, there's glass, and you can always see the works just displayed so beautifully there. Cece Cole has an exhibit called Thinking About Meditating. And Cece, there may be some of our listeners who are familiar with your work, but for those who aren't, tell us just a bit about your background.
Well, I graduated from USL. Mm-hmm. John Hawthorne was my professor, very inspiring. And so I'm in great company at the ACA right now and having a good time. But I do installation, and I do a lot of pieces and parts in my studio and then put it all together in the space and kind of work site specifically. So it's talk about problem solving. That's what I do.
Well, you know, there was an artist, an installation artist in here not too long ago. She was speaking on the UL campus, Doris Bitar. And she does a lot of installation as well. And it was interesting just talking with her about that form of art. It seems to be, and maybe it's always been around in some form. I mean, obviously there's some of it in your work, but the kind you're talking about of just large chunks of it being put together and created in one space, being reassembled and put into another space. How did you get interested in that form of art?
I think I just liked to do so many different things that I just couldn't, you know, I had to find a way to put it all together. And so it just came, you know, it was something I worked out in the painting program in Iowa. And I think I started here, you know, I just, when I was young, I didn't really know what direction to take it in. And then I finally, I think I'm getting closer. Anyway, I'm still working at it. For this show, actually, I'm doing some pieces that are, you know, not necessarily, they stand on their own, but they're still part of the, they kind of fit under the title, the theme of the whole event, the whole show.
And is this a theme that you've been thinking about for a long time?
Thinking about meditating, yes. I think it's, I moved back to Lafayette about 2.5 years ago and got to focus on my studio. That was the idea, was to come home, and I was living in New York and paying big rent, and I thought, I think I need to focus on the studio and see if this is going to be a thing or not. So it just, I think I started it as sort of a joke, and then I wanted the work to be, I take it very seriously, obviously. I've studied it for a lot of years, but I wanted it to be funny. You know, I think it's a kind of poke at myself for, you know, trying to for focus, to kind of keeping focus, but also having a laugh at how difficult that can be sometimes.
So this idea and the pieces in this exhibit have a kind of a humor to them?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it does more so while I'm making it than mm-hmm. when I finally put it together. But I think I hope people see that. Mm-hmm. I'm adapting to the space and kind of making do with some of the things on the wall, and mm-hmm. and I hope people will see that. I won't say what it is, but there are a few little things that have, you know, I cut drawings to fit whatever mm-hmm. exists.
Well, you know, we're not going to be having a gallery talk with you that night. People have the fortune to go hear John talk about his work tonight. So maybe you can just walk us through just a little bit and give us an entry into some of those pieces, so when we arrive on Saturday, they'll be a little less opaque.
Well, I don't know how opaque they are. They're mm-hmm. they're colorful and mm-hmm. and fun, and you know, I think I tend to work outside of the box, I guess, so to speak. So I have a little bit of trouble sticking to my rectangles and squares. I'm always trying to build off of those. And also when I get in the space, if there's like a hole in the wall, I'll just build off of it. If it's already there, I just build on it. So I kind of, in that way, it kind of helps me loosen up when I'm working on my installation, I guess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you kind of walk in, and hopefully there are, in all the little nooks and crannies, I've crammed quite a bit of stuff in a little bit of space and have done lots of editing in the last few days. But the idea, I hope, is that you can kind of wander through the space and find, you know, maybe look to the left and see a little corner that you wouldn't expect to see a piece, mm-hmm. and up in the ceiling, you know, hanging things off the ceiling that maybe other people wouldn't have paid attention to. I'm incorporating a video in this installation and trying to make sense of this giant space between two columns that exists in the Coca-Cola space. So, and then it's a kind of, you walk straight through it. You walk through the front door and you go out the back door, kind of. So there's, you know, no question of how you're going to navigate the space, but there's something to see on, you know, on both sides every way.
Yeah. Do it again if you want to.
I hope people will do that.
Do that meditation path,
yeah, right,
again.
Yeah.
A little cloister walk.
You know? Right. And it's, you know, it's meant to be a little, there's some pieces in there that are meant to be a little disorienting, or, you know, maybe not, you know, that's the part that I guess is the humorous part to me anyway, mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. it's there's no place to focus on some of these things. Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, it's a kind of a textile, referencing textile, and my friend called it a headache. He said you could call this one headache. So, you know, that's what I think is funny, is that, you know, it's serious, but, you know, there's something that jars you out of that focused mm-hmm. reality.
Do you have a web presence that people can go to?
I have a blog. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty focused on mm-hmm. other things since I've been home, and so I keep intending to set mm-hmm. up a website, but it's a blog site, and you can find it with
search
my name.
For your name. Yeah. Well, just in case people want to see some of your mm-hmm. images beforehand. If you have just tuned in, we are talking about exhibits that are at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. This Saturday is Second Saturday Art Walk. All the galleries are full, chock-a-block, some of them.
Okay.
And tonight in the main gallery, John Hathorn will be giving a gallery talk about his work, a retrospective of 30 years of his work, and truly will be a treat. 6:30 tonight. It is free and open to everyone, and it does kick off the Festival of the Arts Week, in addition to just being a pleasure to attend. And then Second Saturday Art Walk, you can see C.C. Cole's exhibit, Thinking About Meditating, in the Coca-Cola Gallery. And lots of other things happening. So that's this weekend. Starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday?
6 to 9.
6 to 9. And that's Second Saturday Art Walk. And we look forward to seeing your works. And as always, we encourage people to try and see it at another time than the Art Walk as well, and just
sure,
really enjoy
busy.
It personally. Yeah. Well, thank you all for coming by today.
Thank you.
Thank you.